Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes. From things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Whatever. Oppenheimer won like everything, which is kind of anticlimactic.
That's why I didn't bother to watch.
Do you know that this is Robert Downey Jr.'s first Oscar?
Is it a pity Oscar? Does he have a big role?
So that's right.
Neither of us saw it.
However, according to the one podcast I listened to, they do think it's a pity Oscar. Like, oh, poor you. You've sacrificed all this time to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sorry, yeah. We couldn't give you an Oscar for that. So you had I don't think he had a very minor role, but he definitely like wasn't the main dude. I think it was a pity Oscar.
Maybe Christopher Nolan will put him in something like as a lead.
Yeah, I mean,
poor guy, with his sketchy career, has not had many chances to be front and center, except Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which we both loved.
I mean, I will say, and I understand that they're never going to give a Marvel movie an Oscar, and I also think, Marvel has become boring, but I did think he did a fantastic job as Tony Stark. Mm. I would have given him an Oscar just for that. But Oscar for his entire arc. What?
I felt like he kind of reinvented the character or did something to the character to make it his own, for sure.
I mean, I agree. I fucking thought Iron Man was the most boring fucking person in the world. And now I find him like a very compelling character. So yeah, I would say someone should give him an award for what he did with Tony Stark.
It's going to be us. The 2024 mm-hmm. Oscar for Best Marvel Career goes to Robert Downey Jr.
All right.
Here to accept the award is Robert Downey Jr.
I realized again, not again, I've never mentioned this, but like as he was going up there, I was like, man, he's changed so much. Like I remember him in Less Than Zero. And then I went, wait, was that Rob Lowe? And then I went, wait, no, that was Robert Downey Jr. Then I went, wait, I don't know. And then I never Googled it. That was Robert Downey Jr., right? Have you seen Less Than Zero?
Less Than Zero. It's not ringing a big bell. Go ahead. Tell me what it's about. I know that I've seen it, though.
He's like a coke addict, and he becomes like a male prostitute to fund his coke habit, and then he ODs at the end.
No, but that does sound more like Robert Downey Jr. I can't imagine Rob Lowe doing something that...
Yeah, I think you're right. They're just both the same to me. Robert Downey Jr. was... No, fuck! I would say Rob Lowe used to be so hot, but I only say Robert Downey Jr. I would say, nobody cares, but Robert Downey Jr. got hotter with age. Rob Lowe did not. Rob Lowe was at his hottest, at his youngest point. Weirdly, Robert Downey Jr. was not.
He's weirdly hotter at age. Marissa was most attracted to him as a baby.
No! I was most attracted to Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire because he was really...
See, that's
really,
it. Those were the two I was crossing in my head, so thanks for mentioning that.
He was really pale and, like soft-faced. Now he's so, like... I know he's aged, but now he's so, like, tan and fit. And I'm like, no, I just want a soft, pale man. That is my dream man. He's soft and he's pale. Okay, let's move on.
Listener mail. Marissa, we got an email. Wait, we got a call and an email, which you know.
Yes.
You don't have to pretend.
Okay, thank you.
We heard from Alex, and Alex is going to – he is not asking us a question. What he is doing is he is going to school us on something that we didn't know about. We are getting a – Y'all Heard voicemail. Well, I guess it would be anyway. You know what I mean? The email is like, hey, y'all heard of this?
Hi, this is Alex. I'm calling in because, among other things, I want to raise awareness of pig butchering scams. These were recently covered on an episode of John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. I feel like one of the best ways to get what they are like is to just see what the text exchanges look like that lead to these things. So I sent a recent text exchange that I had with a pig butchering scammer by email to yallheardpod@gmail.com. So I think it might be fun if, like, Pete and Marissa were to read the dialogue aloud on the show.
So these are all text messages, everyone. When are you going back to work?
Who is this?
It's me, Chloe. I'm texting you from my work phone.
Well, I think you have the wrong number.
Are you Sarah?
No.
Oh, gosh. This is so embarrassing.
Check out this video, Pig Butchering Scams, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yes, it's true. So...
And then she died.
Yeah. What do you read that as yes, it's true, so, or yes, it's true, so? I don't understand the so twice.
No, yeah, I was wondering, but I didn't see the time. Like, there's no time code that says there was a lapse, but I was like, maybe they said so. And then, like, a couple hours later, they were like, so.
Yeah. Also, Alex, I truly appreciate you. And the fact that instead of ignoring someone who's clearly scamming you, you decided to send them a YouTube video of the scam.
And I think I read you too aggressively, Alex, but
yeah,
I wanted to have fun with the role.
When you said dramatically, I assumed I was going to be the only dramatic one, so that was interesting. All right.
So, the way that the pig butchering scams work, to make a long story short, they're called that because the mark is being treated like a pig who's being fattened up and then slaughtered. That is the image that is in mind of the scammers running the scam. The way that it works is that the mark gets a text message or a message on a social media platform, something like that, and it, like, seems like it's a wrong number or somebody doesn't, like, really have any reason to be contacting you, and then they just try to get chatting, and then they try to develop an emotional relationship with the mark, and then the scammer starts talking about crypto, and the scam is not what you think. You would think, like, okay, so do you want me to give you the money to do the crypto? No, they're like, here, go to this crypto website and I'll teach you how to use it. You're going to make so much money just like me. I'm not trying to take your money. I've got a lot of money from crypto. And it turns out that the crypto website is a fake and you're just loading your money into a fake crypto website. I mean, like, crypto is its own huge family of scams, and that's a separate thing, but the way that the pig butchering scams extract money from the marks a lot of the time is telling people to go put their money in the crypto market, but it's a fake crypto website. So the reality behind how these things are actually run is really gruesome. A lot of the time, the people that are sending messages to marks are themselves being coerced, having been trafficked to different countries, often in Southeast Asia, and are working in, you know, slavery conditions, basically, just like cranking out spammy type of messages to people, mostly in the West, mostly middle-aged. So watch out for pig butchering scams, and you might not think that you could fall for this, but you could fall for some scam. And you should also make sure that, like, family members who are, you know, perhaps advanced in years are aware of this and understand how it works and are circumspect about not giving money to scammers. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Alex. That was very interesting. I do need to say, when I was over, we hadn't heard the voicemail yet. We had just seen the text. And I didn't know exactly what pig butchering scams were, but I kind of thought it was something like this. Like, but Pete just kept really racking his brain thinking there was actual pigs and butchering.
And that leads us to today's icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
Marissa, what's a better name for that scam?
Ooh, do you have one ready?
Yes, I have one that I feel like is perfect. It's okay. A foie gras scam.
Why?
Because your feet, you're like, I know that in that situation, you are overstuffing a goose so that it's nice and fat so that you can cook it. But every time you butcher a pig, I don't think it's always so that you can get, like, stuffed parts of it.
Okay. Wait.
Like, if you go to a pig butcher, you might be like, oh, give me some ribs.
Oh, okay. I don't have an answer. This is a really hard icebreaker.
Okay, so I'll tell you what your answer is.
Okay.
Your answer is the witch from Hansel and Gretel skiing.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Let me think. Something that, how about, no, I was going to say the turducken, but that would involve many layers. okay, something that is stuffed. I'm going to ask you something. Maybe it's inappropriate. We can't include it. Isn't there that term for when one spouse is like just average physique, but then they really want their spouse to be like really heavy for some reason, and then it's called feeders? And I don't know why they're fattening it though, because they don't kill their spouse and then eat them. That's all I have in my mind.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, as another alternate for you, I was going to say teddy bear.
Okay.
It's the Build-A-Bear scam.
How about vor? Since aren't you filling yourself with a whole other person's body all at once? Yeah, I've lost the thesis. I feel a little flaky today.
So it's okay.
Let's just move on.
I had a conversation with my boss yesterday, and I don't think I got 3 words correct.
Yeah, I keep reading on brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel okay. Neurologically, mentally, I don't know. And I don't know what the explanation is. I don't know if it's too much internet time or COVID broke me. So here's hoping that stops happening. Let's move on before I become sad.
Today I wanted to tell you about some noteworthy women from history, because it is Women's History Month.
It is? Isn't it Black History Month?
Black History Month is February. Did you know it's March now?
Well,
just checking. I'm just checking to make sure you know what month it is.
I know it's March. I just thought that because Target has like clusters of like themed things to buy, and they have like black owned businesses, and I assume they only do that for Black History Month because Target.
Oh, no, they actually do that pretty regularly. They used to have commercials for that.
Huh, okay.
Outside of the season, of course. The season being Black History Month. Okay, let's move on. These are not going to necessarily be inspiring tales of successful superstars. Instead, they are going to be women who are somewhat related to topics that we've touched on, or the hosts themselves. And Marissa, I'm going to let you determine what the connection is.
Okay.
So the first person I wanted to talk about is Mary Sweeney. Have you heard of Mary Sweeney?
No.
She is the infamous or famous window smasher of Wisconsin.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
She smashed windows in the latter half of the 1800s. Records are pretty, fuzzy from back then.
That's fucking awesome.
So she has many first names, 2 possible birthplaces, and 3 possible birth years.
Okay.
But to summarize from Wikipedia, she reportedly worked at one time as a school teacher in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
I love her even more.
And was a great wife and mother of 2. Now, I don't know where the great comes from. That seems a little too biased for Wikipedia, but we'll move on.
I mean, her children described her as great.
An injury to her brain caused her to change, as a result of which she ran away from home in 1890 and traveled around Northern Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and Montana, breaking windows.
And I will say, I don't think breaking windows is amazing, but given the fact that she's a woman and the time period, she's not just like a rebel, like destroying property. Like, she's probably like considered the most like heinous woman that ever existed.
She claims to have destroyed $50,000 worth of windows on a trip, just one trip. Across principal cities, meaning, big cities that are in these states. Big cities in Montana.
Let's just imagine, so we could like her more, that all of the windows were owned by misogynists.
$50,000 in the 1800s. I couldn't get a number for it because the inflation calculator didn't go back that far. But $50,000 in today's money from 1913 is $1.5 million of window damage.
I mean, that's impressive.
She would break windows on trains, windows in shops, pretty much any window that she came across, and sometimes she would do it with stones, sometimes she would carry sticks and use them. Anything that was around, she would break a window with it.
I mean, I hope, like, people weren't on the train at the time. That's pretty fucked up.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Authorities jailed her, but once she was out, she would just keep breaking windows. They institutionalized her, but she boasted about escaping many institutions. Some places even paid to have her travel somewhere else so she'd stop breaking their windows and break somebody else's.
Wow. Honestly, I'm surprised they didn't just, like, lobotomize her, given
her
the time
sanity,
period.
This is the thing. Her sanity was assessed by doctors who declared her sane. Or as one newspaper stated, she appears to be perfectly rational on all subjects except that of window smashing.
Okay.
She did not know why she broke windows, but did it only, quote-unquote, when the craze seized her. Eventually, she was committed to an asylum for the insane and released a few years later. She seemed okay. She even got married and had another child. But she says that the man abandoned them when he found out that she'd been in an asylum.
I'm going to say, I am really surprised she wasn't lobotomized.
Yeah.
Women have been lobotomized for less.
From what I gather, her son stayed with her through 1904, even when she had, quote, an uncontrollable desire for roving the country. To play her role of a window smasher. And she would do it so that she could get free train travel to the next place she wanted to go to.
Oh, man. So she just has, like, she just wants to be a world traveler, but she doesn't have the means.
Yeah. By 1906, it was reported that for several years, she had not engaged in the plate glass business, though she still traveled constantly. Some say she died shortly after 1906, but some say she remained traveling, and as late as 1925, she was said to be looking for her son, who had been gassed during World War II and said, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore, and then was charged with desertion, jailed, and paroled.
Wait, you said he'd been gassed?
Yes.
What do you mean?
He was gassed, like, by a bomb of some sort. And it didn't kill him, but he was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah,
and he left his, you know, crew, because I can't think of the right word. And then
his crew.
Then they arrested him and jailed him because he deserted them.
I feel like you should be able to go home if you've been gassed.
Evidently, her son disappeared from a job site in Detroit and was never seen again.
Oh, man. He kind of has a recurring theme of deserting. Okay.
Yeah. I tried to find more on him, but it's just not out there.
Man.
But like I said, records are a little sketchy back then.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
So, a woman goes around breaking windows. Marissa, how does that relate to our show?
I don't know.
I think for all the things that you said, in a way, you don't go around breaking windows, and neither do I. But we do try to march to our own beat, as it were.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
and sometimes it's not always understood. And maybe occasionally we should be institutionalized.
Also, I want to clarify, I don't find a woman today breaking windows interesting. I find a woman back then breaking windows interesting.
Yeah.
Like, if you tell me
a woman
breaking
windows
now
is a nuisance.
Yeah, I'm like, girl the fuck up. But then I was like, holy shit. You're just being so counterculture, like, words can't even describe.
I like the detail that she would carry sticks with her. It wasn't like, I want to break that window, what's around? She would deliberately leave with sticks and things that she could break windows with.
I mean, once you told me that, she's just like, I mean, I'm sure it didn't start like this, but once she just started using it so she could travel, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I love her.
So our next focus is on Jane Pierce, who is wife of the 14th American president, Franklin Pierce. Marissa, did you know that Franklin Pierce was a president?
No.
He is ranked just below Donald Trump in a 2021 presidential ranking poll at number 42 out of 44.
Wait, in terms of what, though? How are they ranked?
The general gist is who is the best president. And they're ranked on a number of different things, like what they accomplished while they were in office, how were, you know, diplomatic relations and things like that.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. I've never heard his name in my life.
Some say that the two met during a thunderstorm when he implored her not to sit under a tree for risk of lightning strikes.
Okay.
Another suggests that they were introduced by family. Her family opposed the relationship for a number of reasons, including their difference in class, his poor manners, his drinking, his tolerance of slavery, his Episcopalian beliefs, and his political aspirations.
He sounds shitty already.
But as Paula Abdul and DJ Scat Cat taught us, opposites attract. Jean's reclusiveness and depression contrasted with Franklin's gregarious and public aspirations all the way down the aisle.
Wow.
When Franklin
was
a U.S.
ended well.
You're going to love this woman, too. When Franklin was a U.S. senator, they lived in Washington, D.C. But Jean found it unpleasant and moved back home to Amherst, New Hampshire. Again, she was just like, screw this, I'm out.
Yeah, I like all these women so far.
They had three sons. One died 3 days after birth, and one died of typhus at the age of 4. And the last one, Benjamin, strap yourselves in, guys.
Ooh.
He had his skull crashed in front of his parents during a train accident.
What does that even mean? Do you have specifics? What does that mean?
A train car rolled, I believe, and something presumably landed on his head.
Ugh, that's so gross.
She believed, first of all, obviously, she was very distraught. Benjamin, I believe, was 11 years old. So she actually had 11 years with this guy, and then he was dead. She believed that God took her sons as a punishment for her husband's political aspirations.
Oh, all right.
And she did not attend Franklin Pierce's presidential inauguration.
Amazing. Why did
she stayed in Baltimore for 2 weeks instead?
I love her. Melania should take note.
Upon arriving, Marissa, this woman is just, I don't need to ask you at the end of this why I picked this woman.
Okay.
Upon arriving at the White House, she wore black and had the White House decorated for mourning.
Oh man, I love her.
She did not host social events or supervise the White House in the traditional role of First Lady. She left those responsibilities to her aunt and close friend, Abby Kent Means.
Yeah, I always think, like, sure, your husband wants to be president. No one said you want to fucking be, like, a fucking, like house, like, a fucking domestic entertainer. Like, it's just, like, you're supposed to do that shit. Maybe if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So good.
She avoided the companies of other. Damn it. She avoided the company of others, regularly engaging in private Bible study. Pierce attempted to communicate with her late son while she was First Lady, sometimes writing letters to him as an exercise in grief. She also attempted to contact him through a seance with the assistance of the Fox Sisters.
That's what I was hoping you would say.
Major figures in the spiritualism movement.
This lady's got this fuck.
Two of the Fox Sisters did eventually say that their work was a hoax. In general, not just exclusively their visit to the White House. But some say that this was to spite their sister and manager, Leah.
Okay.
Some scholars have suggested that in the course of her relationship with her husband, she may have felt a religious compulsion to save his soul and courted him because of his vices rather than despite them.
If anyone out there watches Love is Blind, in season 6, you might remember that A.D., says that she wants to date Clay because she's a fix-a-hoe, meaning she likes to fix broken men. Sounds like this woman can relate.
20th century historians described her as a hypochondriac that failed to support her husband and consider her a damaging factor in her husband's poorly received presidency. But today we know.
Who cares about her husband? He could have taken care of himself. Fuck you. Who said this?
20th century historians.
Yeah. Well,
which were from the 1800s. No, the 19th. I don't know.
They could eat my ass.
Today we know that she was depressed and would have probably benefited from a divorce.
Yeah. How is it her fault that he sucked?
So now we should put a new shirt up in our store that says Jane Pierce, First Lady of Goth.
Yeah. I like it.
The last one is for me, but I also wanted to share with everybody. I wanted to talk about the Fort Shaw Indian School basketball team, who won a world championship in 1904.
Okay.
In 1902, their school started a girls' basketball team. Apparently, in most Native American cultures, girls are encouraged to play sports with the same intensity as boys. But they didn't have any other sports to play. They could only play basketball. So it was pretty much that or nothing at all.
Okay.
When the team started, none of the girls had played basketball before, but they played by boys' rules.
I'm sorry, what year is this?
1902.
Wait, you said they play by boys' rules. Is girls' basketball not usually played by boys' rules?
No.
Really? What's the difference?
There are a few differences. I think today, the hoop is lower.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The three-point line is closer. I think the quarters are 10 minutes instead of 12 minutes. There's like really little subtle differences, yeah.
Oh man, these girls must be so fucking badass.
So, they played by boys' rules. Now, if you are familiar with basketball, you'll recognize what these mean. One, you played full court, meaning you have to run up and down the whole entire court the whole time.
Oh, you don't play full court in girls' basketball?
No, you do.
Oh, okay.
But if it were half court, it would have been a lot easier on them.
Yeah.
Second, they had 20-minute halves, and they had no breaks.
Okay.
So, again, we're looking at 10-minute quarters, but you played 20-minute halves with no break rather than two 10-minute quarters with a break in between.
Oh, okay.
There are more stupid rules to this. The games were generally low scoring, partially due to the time length of the game, people getting tired. And also it was a tactic to run the clock while retrieving the ball so that you would delay, you know, making a play and the other team getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, after every basket, they did a center court tip off, which is usually at the beginning of the game and at the beginning of maybe the second half of the game, and sometimes in between, depending on fouls. Normally, they only throw the ball up and somebody hits it one direction or another. They usually only do that a few times a game, not really every single time a basket is made.
Okay.
Otherwise, basketball would take even longer.
Yeah.
So the players' cumbersome uniforms and the slightly bigger ball than the one that is used today also contributed to low scores. I mention this so that you know when the scores I mention come up, they are not as bad as they sound based on today's scoring rules, which I think, yes, just scoring is out of control today. Okay. The cumbersome uniforms, by the way, included, and hopefully you can help us with these, Marissa, wool serge bloomers and middies.
What? I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I know what a bloomer is. That's like a, it's like a little puffy little like pant thing.
Yes. And they were made of wool.
That's horrendous.
And they also had middies, which is short for something, but basically it's like a blouse with like a, one of those sort of like roundish collars.
Oh my God, those poor girls.
Yeah. And they had to wear them outdoors during the heat of St. Louis that summer, which according to newspapers was sweltering.
Did people die?
No.
Okay.
Things did not start so grandly though. And this is where we get to hate ourselves for being white. Yeah. White people out there, I should say. How about we hate each other for being American, okay?
Okay.
Informally known as the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition was held from April 30th to December 1st, 1904. The expo was known for its many anthropology days, displays of exotic peoples to reaffirm notions of racial superiority while simultaneously challenging many popular stereotypes. Native American people were put on display to demonstrate the possibility for them to progress. Anthropology Day's architect, W.J. McGee, whose name I mentioned so that we can all hate him.
Yeah, what a
con. He designed his events to illustrate the evolution of humans from savagery to barbarism to civilization. The displays were also a way for imperialist countries to justify their subjugation of indigenous people worldwide.
That's nice.
However, the girls' presence and decorum at the fair helped show fairgoers that Indians were not savages. In terms of the basketball exhibition itself, it ended with a best-of-three competition between the Fort Shaw team and the Missouri All-Stars. who were alumni of Central High in St. Louis. After an entire summer of playing exhibition games twice a week, the anticipation was high for the games. Oh, and you should also know that they not only played twice a week, the team also was required to entertain the crowd with string concerts, choral music, and poetry recitals before the game actually started.
The basketball players? How would they know how to do that? What?
Well, because it was part of their upbringing and traditions.
Okay.
It was, again, sort of like being on display.
Yeah, okay. Who agreed that they would be part of this? That's what I want to know. Not that you have the answer. I just, like, I don't understand how they ended up in this.
At first it was presented like you're going to represent your culture at this big world's parade.
But then it was like you're going to be our...
I think they didn't have a clear idea. In fact, after they're done winning this championship, I don't know if it was the next year or the year after. No, you know what? I'll sort of tell you that when it comes up.
Okay.
So, Fort Shaw, our girls, won the first game 24-2. The St.
Wait,
Louis
who are they
team,
against?
They're playing against the Missouri All-Stars.
And they're both girls, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them to just because they're not white assume that they could be against men or something insane. Okay.
The St. Louis team failed to show up for the second game and forfeited.
Oh, wow. Okay.
However, that team asked to continue the competition, and Fort Shaw agreed. It was a best of three, so they were kind of like, let's wipe the forfeit, and let's just take these bitches out.
Yeah.
At the end of the second game, the score was 17-6, winning the Fort Shaw girls the title as the basketball champions of 1904's St. Louis World's Fair.
All right.
On August 25th, the girls won the silver and gold cup for women's basketball at the fair. Despite being signed up to play only the women's basketball bracket, the team won in general competition as well. Meaning,
against
the men?
Oh my God, I love it. That's so
now,
cool.
When they are done, someone says, and this I don't have the details on. I did read it. It is true, but I don't remember the names. Somebody was like, hey, you know what? These girls are remarkable. I'm going to pay for them to go to college.
Okay.
Except the way that things work out is that he puts them on a college basketball team and then sort of like travels them around a lot. And it's almost like they are sort of like an exhibit of themselves.
And so they never even take college classes, do they? They just put on a show, I bet.
Besides that, they, they didn't feel comfortable doing it. It was much more showcasey. I can't think of a different analogy, but it was almost felt like a freak show.
Aw, poor babies.
So after a semester, they quit, they went home, and they just continued their lives like normal women. Whatever that means.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that one was for me, guys. You know, I like women's basketball, and I've had these women sort of checked off, and I wanted to talk about them, but I didn't think I could get a whole episode out of a lady smashing windows.
Pretty good. Also, I didn't realize it was Women's History Month.
Yeah.
When I was, I thought it was Black History Month, but I just, I am a woman. So, I should go buy myself a gift after this.
You can remember, because the joke is always that Black History Month is the shortest month on the calendar.
Okay.
And it's still messed up that that's there.
Mm-hmm. And not the same, but Hispanic... Wait, is it even called the Hispanic Heritage Month? Whatever, it's not even a month. It's half of one month and half of another, which literally makes no sense.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, that was cool.
Thanks, Marissa. So are you.
Thanks. I'm a woman. Pete only calls me cool in Women's History Month.
By the way, everybody, it's my birthday today.
No, it's not. Oh, it is when it comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? Kudos to you for knowing it's not my birthday today.
Yeah. Guys, I all his life have his birthday wrong. I think it's the 14th, all of the time.
At least Marissa's not my parents.
My parents had my birthday wrong. So you know what? You know what, guys? Normalize not knowing people's birthdays and not getting upset about it. That's what I'd like.
I haven't yelled at her. She thinks I was born on Pi Day.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I don't even know my husband's birthday. So that should say something. It's not that I don't value Pete. It's that I don't value any birthdays. That's a joke. I'm forgetful.
Plugs. So, okay. Anything you want to plug here at the end of the show?
Do I want to plug? I forgot Curb Your Enthusiasm existed till recently. That's a fun show.
Was it?
You said, is it? You've never watched
Curb Your Enthusiasm? Is it okay?
The whole show or the new season?
I was hearing like things about the recent episodes that they were like a little too off the mark on certain topics. But it seems okay.
Let's see. Do I remember anything really problematic? I assume there's always something a little not okay. The depiction of Asian people is a little antiquated.
I remember people had problems during the Hurricane Katrina when he took in the family, which was absurd. But, like, that was absurd for being absurd. It wasn't like any of that was seriously how he felt about stuff. It was just kind of like, this is what a culture clash looks like.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I lost track of it, so I actually never saw, like, he still lives with one of the good people from that, but I don't remember how that happened. If anyone sees it and is like, oh my god, there's this horrible problematic thing, what the fuck, she doesn't care, just know that I might be forgetting something. But
she doesn't even remember people's birthdays, so give her a break.
I think overall it's just absurd. I'm not, it's possible I'm forgetting something, but overall I think it's just more absurd. I'm enjoying it.
Oh,
Jeff,
me?
Yeah, you.
What's it's called, snakes? It's called Not Words.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's called Not Words, and that's not like in your shoelaces. And it can be pretty hard.
What do you do?
It's fun. If they give you a grid and you have to put out all the letters so that each line makes words.
Okay.
It's almost kind of like a crossword puzzle without any clues.
Is it like a Sudoku with words?
I don't think so. But maybe. I've never really grasped Sudoku.
I thought Sudoku has to be like the numbers need to be in order in every direction. But who knows? Whatever. Who cares?
Grids get really hard on Sundays. But you know what? You can always do the mini one, and that's fun. This is my plug when I forget to have plugs. Thank you.
I just want to say that I tried to play Wordle once, and I didn't understand how to play it, but I didn't want to look up how to play it. And I was just like, if I can't understand how to play this immediately, fuck it. So, yeah, I've never played Wordle, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Have you played Wordle?
No.
Seems
not
sad.
For any real reason. But.
Okay. Remember when everyone played Words with Friends?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Do you want to play Words with Friends with us? You can call us at...
I don't play Words with Friends, but 570-POD-1-1.
You can email us at... I don't have the app anymore.
Yeah. You can email us at...
You know, I didn't even play on an app. I played through the browser. YallHeardPod@gmail.com. Which Alex did, and we loved.
And continue to love Alex. I just want to say, I don't know when it goes up, but me and Pete made some soda tasting content. And I will say that our listener Juan recently tasted Coke K-Wave, and he said it tasted like watered down regular Coke. If you've tried a limited edition Coke, let us know.
Yeah, we'll have that up sometime.
Yeah, no rush.
I watched a bad movie, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have this up in a week. And I feel like it was like 3 weeks ago. So we're working on it, but... I have to edit video, and I don't have a video editor, so pray for me.
Pete, I'll pray for you. Pete's the only one who uploads things, so when we're slow, know that he's a one-man show, okay? And he has a full-time job. So he says us, but it's really just him. God bless Pete Phillips. Guys, thank you for listening. I wasn't at my best today, but I thought Pete
sure you were.
Thank you. Anyway, you keep listening. Stay safe out there. You could slide into my DMs anytime at Wrist Vandal, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, have a good week ahead.
Bye.
Have a good week, comma, ahead.
Bye.
Bye.